This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
In the children's message, we talked about feeding the hungry, and that's exactly what Jesus does in our gospel reading this morning. We read from Matthew 14. When Jesus heard of it, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that we can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and children.
Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the book of Genesis, from the 32nd chapter, verses 22 through 31. The Revised Common Lectionary for year A, the Old Testament reading so far, have been focused on the story of Israel from to Abraham and now to Jacob, and we'll be moving on to the next chapter of that. But if you recall Jacob is, he likes to get his way. He's nothing stops him from getting what he wants. And if you remember the story, Jacob tricks his brother Esau, twin brother Esau, who was born first. Jacob tricked Esau into selling him his birthright for a bowl of stew. Jacob's a pretty wily, kind of a conniver in some ways, but he gets what he wants. But Jacob and Esau have been estranged, and they're about to meet up. Jacob wants to meet up with Esau. Esau with Jacob. And Jacob is particularly nervous about this because, wouldn't you be too if you're going to meet your brother whom you tricked out of a birthright? And not sure what's going to happen in that meeting. He's already sent Esau some softening up gifts to kind of appease him for this meeting. But we pick up the story at this point as Jacob gets ready to meet his brother. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Yabok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Well, the man said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But the man said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there the man blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon Jacob as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God.
God started it, this wrestling match. It doesn't state specifically that it is God that started it, but it's implied, I think. I mean, Jacob had sent his family across the river, and it was, well, I think he was doing some reflecting, some self-reflecting, and waiting, and this man, according to the story, shows up and starts wrestling with him all night. And not only that, not only did God start this wrestling match, but if you think about it in a particular way, God cheated. They were wrestling to a draw, struggling one with the other. And when the man saw that he wasn't going to win, strikes Jacob on the hip, puts his hip out of joint. That's cheating, isn't it? You get penalty points for that. As we talked about just a few minutes ago, good old Jacob, the rascal, the schemer, the scammer, the trickster. He spent his entire life getting what he wanted through not so honest means. But now he's going to be reunited with his brother Esau. And he's a little bit nervous about that, maybe a lot nervous about it, because even though Jacob is his trickster, he still has kind of a conscience, doesn't he? He knows, he's aware. He didn't do these things, trick people by accident. It was planned. But he knows that he's going to meet with Esau, and he knows Esau's not going to be too happy about it, maybe. Jacob has been wrestling with humans all of his life. Not just his brother, but his father. And we don't have many accounts, if any others, of the people that he wrestled with, that he struggled with, that he tricked. But I'm sure there were others. And now God shows up to wrestle with Jacob while he's doing some self-reflection about his life. Now, don't misunderstand. Jacob is not having a come-to-Jesus moment where his life turns around and he won't be tricking folk anymore. But he's aware of who he is, what he's done. And he has some remorse about that, I would hope. But now God confronts him. To hold up a mirror to Jacob. Jacob knows about God, who God is. He's a good Israelite. Now God wrestles with him about the life that he's led. And I don't think God's intent is to win the match, but to actually struggle with Jacob, alongside Jacob, in the midst of all that Jacob is thinking, all the things he is feeling, to help Jacob review the life that he's lived, and the way that he's thought, and to maybe just a little bit, even just a little bit, to change the way that Jacob thinks and sees others and himself. And the result? Jacob walks away limping. We do too. We've wrestled with humans, haven't we? Brothers, sisters, family, neighbors, people we don't even know very well. We have our differences of opinion, our different ways that we think and act and do things. And sometimes we've been hurt. Sometimes others have been hurt. And while we may not walk away visibly limping, physically limping, our spirits can be hurt too. Our feelings can be hurt. We can walk away from an encounter with our brothers and sisters, a wrestling match with them, if you will, emotionally limping. Part of the reason I think that we come to worship is to take a break from all the wrestling we do with the world for the previous week. We need a break. We need to take a breath. We need to be strengthened. But there are times when we come to worship and we hear God's wishes for us, God's hopes for us, and we end up wrestling with what we hear. William Sloan Coffin, Jr., he was a Presbyterian minister and a peace activist. He died quite a few years ago now. And he has a whole section on church and his thoughts about that. And here's what he said about church. One of the quotes that struck me in comparison to this limping this morning that Jacob is doing. He says, "It's often said that the church is a crutch." Never thought of it that way. Then he goes on to say, of course it's a crutch. What makes you think that you don't limp? We all limp. We've all wrestled with God. We will again. It happens every once in a while. God will show up. challenge us, maybe in what we're thinking or what we're doing, struggle with us, but stay with us and won't let us go, because God loves us. We come to this table this morning. We're limping to this table to share a meal, to remember Jesus, who showed us God's ways, called us to live in those ways. And while we remember Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, the things that he taught, sometimes we wrestle with those things too, don't we? We come to this table to be refreshed, to be strengthened. We come limping, we'll go away limping. But the God who loves us steadfastly goes with us. The God who loves us steadfastly shows up to wrestle with us, not to win, but to confront, to call, and ultimately to bless. We will leave this table today blessed. Jacob got a new name. We won't get a new name, but we'll continue the name that's been given to us, the new name that's been given to us time and time again, disciple, follower of the way, blessed to carry on and share the good news. Yes, we'll wrestle again with God, with humans, and we'll limp again, but don't let go of the God who loves us and wrestles with us, and give thanks that God doesn't let go of us in all our struggles. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.